Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're going to talk about money. What? We're going to talk about money. We're going to unpack this Money Matters for the month of August. You're going to love it. It's going to be a great month. And we're going to go to the book of Matthew 6, 19 to 24. We're not talking about giving. We're talking about money. And giving's a part of money, but we're going to focus on money. And so we're going to Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Are you there? Come on, talk to me. Are you there? It might be because you're not there yet, which would be fair. So don't talk until you're there. Are you there? Okay. 19, verse 19, Matthew 6. This is actually just after the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Here's the key passage, key bit of scripture for this month. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us. Father, that you reveal your word. Breathe life into every heart today. Thank you for your presence. You know, Bruce and Lisa Moltman, in worship, I just thought of you. And everyone all right? I'm just going to prophesy over these guys for a second. You all right? Yeah. And I felt this line from the Lord. I felt like the Lord say, "I'm up to something." I don't know what is happening in your world, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Tell them I'm up to something." God is up to something in your lives. I don't know where, I don't know what sphere of life it is, but I'm telling you the Holy Spirit is up to something. Trust Him, follow Him. He's with you, He's for you, He's got this. Amen? Come on, praise God, everybody. Come on, church, praise God like a Pentecostal church that loves the prophetic utterance of the Holy Ghost. So we're talking about money. Frankie, you can go. I love you. Give it up, Frank. Get out of here. God bless. So money is a spicy topic. Especially when you're talking about it at church. And we're talking about it because, you know, some Christians say you should be poor. Some Christians say you should be rich. Which one is it? Some Christians say all sorts of things. I remember we had this guy, Michael Pitts. I don't know if you remember this guy, Michael Pitts, American preacher, OG, used to come to Presence Conference back in the day, Michael Pitts. And he would get up and he would say, you know, in America, like people often say of the pastor who's not very good with money, they say, "Yeah, well, he's just a nice guy." And then they say of the pastor that is good with money, "He's a crook." Which one is it? Jesus, what does Jesus say about money? Does Jesus say poor good, rich bad? Bad English, I know. Rich good, poor bad. Does Jesus say ignore money? Does he say don't worry about money? Does he say focus on money? What does Jesus say about money? And here's what you need to get over this month. Jesus teaches all through Scripture, all through the Gospels, that our relationship with money matters. Our relationship with money matters. Did you know that Jesus told 38 parables? Did you know that? 38 parables, 16 of them were about money. That is 42%, good at maths, 42% of his parables were about money, because money is not about money, money is about your heart. And God doesn't want your money, God wants your heart. So Jesus spoke to the human heart, and thus he addressed money, because money is an issue of the heart. Because money is an issue of the heart, money therefore is an issue of trust. Money is an issue of lordship. To be silent about money as a follower of Jesus is to be silent about one of the most relevant issues of our human experience. We cannot be silent about it. Jesus was not silent about it, because money is the God, little g God, of this age. There are a few, there are a couple. If you grew up in the 90s and the noughties, it sounds weird to say that. If you grew up, because I grew up in the 90s and the noughties, like I'm really old. But 90s and noughties, there was this brand called SMP. Anyone remember this brand? Like three people. It was really cool. At Lowe's, yeah. No one got that, that's all right. SMP, sex, money, power. And it's very interesting, because in the world, two predominant little g gods are sex and money. And what's interesting about the contrast of the world's view of sex and money and the kingdom's view of sex and money is that sex, according to the world, is something to give away freely. Right? It's right. Leave me up here. It's fine. It's something. No, I get it. Today's not the day to talk. I get it. Sex. It's like everyone's just free with it. Very generous with it. It's not really an act of the soul. It's just an act of the flesh. So just, what does it matter? That is the culture of the world. When it comes to money in the world says, do not give away your money. Hold tight to your money. Get your money, protect it, fight people off from it, guard your money with all diligence. But interesting, the kingdom is literally the exact opposite. It is the upside down kingdom. Sex is holy, sacred, and not to be given away freely, not to be given away without boundaries, not to be given away generously. Sex is holy and sacred. It is an act of the soul that God has designed between a man and a woman in marriage. That is the kingdom. Money, on the other hand, is literally the opposite to the world. The kingdom doesn't say store up your money, get your money, pursue your money, fight for your money, protect your money. The world says give it away generously. Be a big spirited person, be a good steward, but be free from the power and the hold of money. Can I get a good amen from the church today? Money in the kingdom is treated as a tool and a means to bless others. So God has designed sex to be holy and sacred, money to be, you know, like the New Testament church, the early church was born in the, birthed in the Roman Empire. You know that, right? And in the Roman Empire, they were very loose sexually. So please don't think that the age we live in is that new or different. It's actually been like this for many years. And the early church stood out so much, they were so countercultural on these two issues, that they turned up cities upside down, like we can do right here, with a countercultural kind of church, with a kingdom following Jesus kind of church. We can turn it upside down. That's what they did. They treated sex as sacred. But you know what? They were almost promiscuous with their money. The world's got it backwards. Promiscuous with sex, protective of money. The kingdom is protective of sex, but almost promiscuous with money. Just like these guys were crazy generous. It didn't make sense, their generosity, so much so that it turned Rome upside down. It turned all these cities upside down. And we are called to live in this kind of kingdom, to live this out. And so Jesus teaches us that our relationship with money matters. So today we're going to just introduce why it matters. Next week we're going to talk about stewardship. It's about thriving. Do you know that God actually looks at how we handle our money? Jesus said, how can you be trusted with true riches if you can't handle earthly riches? How you doing? I feel convicted. Stewardship of finances and resources matters in the kingdom. Then we're going to look at tithing. It's about lordship. And we're going to speak to all the conjecture about tithing. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a real juicy one. You're going to love it. Then we're going to talk about generosity. It's about identity. Generosity, everybody, is not something a follower of Jesus does. It's who a follower of Jesus is. You aren't generous when you get ready to be generous. It's just who you are, because that's who God is. Can I get a good amen, everybody? Amen. And I don't know if you've heard this. You probably have. Have you heard this before? The church just wants your money. It's all right to be honest today. You can say, it's true. People have said that about our church, lots of churches. The church just wants your money. So does the church want your money? I want to answer that today. I want to go on the record. Speak right to online. And I want to tell you, no. No, we do not want your money. We want you to know, you've probably heard this before, maybe once or twice. We want you to know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. We want you to live in and live out the great commission that Jesus gave for us. But listen, one of the things that will either aid or hinder you living this out will be money. Money will hinder what's most important, or it will aid what is most important, and that is to know Jesus and to follow him. And like I said before, God's not wanting your money. He wants your heart. But to truly follow Jesus, if your money is not a part of your followership, then he does not have all your heart. He doesn't. And this is why he speaks to money. We are humans. Any humans here today? No AI robots, thank God. Because money tempts us. Because we're human and our hearts are slippery. So we get tempted. Two things I want to look at that we get tempted by with money is, number one, we are tempted to love money. We're tempted to love money. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:10. He said, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Let's get this straight. It doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money. The love of money. So it's not money that is wrong or evil. It's our relationship with money. It's how you approach money. It's how you connect to money. It's how you handle money. So that's the issue. And so if money has a disproportionate level of your affection, your attention, or ascribes to you your value or the lack of value, then we have drifted into loving money. How you doing today? We have drifted into a love of money. God wants you to be free from the love of money. It doesn't say that God doesn't want you to have money. It's that God doesn't want you to love money. He wants you to be free from that. So if money is a constant concern, if money is something, if you fear money, that is the same as giving it lots of attention and affection. You know, like I found myself recently, I kept checking my account on my phone. It's so accessible. I just kept checking it. And nothing had changed. Like I was expecting something to change, you know, like expecting just manna from the heavens. Yes, Lord. I just kept checking. And I was doing it almost unconsciously. And then I caught myself going, why do I keep checking my balance? And I realized I'd started to get a little obsessed with my money. I'm like, do you get your identity or a lack of identity from money? I remember in my early 20s, I was really good at saving. Still am. Working on it. And I found myself, I was saving all this money and I was seeing it grow, I was seeing progress. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I'm really good at this. And then I actually started to sense I was a little bit proud of it. Like, not in, like, it's fine to be proud of that, but like in an unhealthy way, I was getting a little bit of identity from the fact that I had this savings. And, you know, I worked at Flower Power. Let's go Flower Power. Shout out. And, you know, I'd worked for years and I just save, and I was good at saving. But then I remember the Holy Spirit on a Sunday night here, I felt the stupid service. I felt that, it's so annoying when the Holy Spirit moves, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, would you lay this money down over the next 3 years? It was not like a do this or, it was like an invitation. And it was actually the amount I'd been saving each year that I felt the Holy Spirit say, would you lay that down on the altar? So from 21 to 24, I gave a pretty significant amount over 3 years that was my savings. And you know, I'm not saying everyone should do this, so just relax. What I'm saying is this was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And what he was doing was breaking the love of money off my life. Woo! I thank God for that. I have never looked back and said, I wish I didn't do that. I thank God that I did that. I'm not rich. I'm not poor. I'm blessed, baby. That's the testimony of those who follow Jesus. Blessed. Because God is my provider. But he does want to break the love or the fear of money off your life. It is keeping you stuck. It is keeping you caught. God wants you free. Paul said to Timothy, eager for money, they have wandered from the faith. Because you know, the tendency is not to quit the faith. It's to wander from it. Like, I mean, who was the last time you talked to someone who said, no, I quit the faith yesterday. I quit. It's more like, hey, I think I've drifted. We see people wander from the faith. Why do we wander? Because another love has caught our attention and our affection more than God. We wander from Jesus because another love has enticed us and we've got focused on it more than Jesus. It's not that money is wrong. It's that money should never be more, have more of your heart, more of your affection, more of your attention than God. Can I get a good amen? We wander. And isn't it interesting? It says, piercing ourselves with many griefs. Piercing ourselves. We don't need the devil. We can do it ourselves. We can lead ourselves into griefs. The irony of the love of money is that it never loves you back. The irony of the love of money is it never really satisfies. King Solomon. You heard of King Solomon? If you haven't heard of King Solomon, he was a king called Solomon in the Bible. And so he was incredibly wealthy, like potentially one of the wealthiest people in history. His riches stem from extensive trade networks, tribute payments, and the vast gold reserves accumulated during his reign. People say that under his reign, the estimated value of his wealth and everything that was in his kingdom was $2 to $3 trillion. And he writes this, Ecclesiastes 5:10. He says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too, in classic King Solomon fashion in the book of Ecclesiastes, this too is meaningless. Because you know, more money doesn't always mean less problems. In the kingdom of heaven, church, we don't love money, we love God. Matthew 22:37, you know it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The Northern Beaches says, don't love God too much But we're crazy. We're loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. We're not trying to do it like the world does it. We're not trying to do it like the Northern Beaches does it. We're doing it the kingdom way. We're doing it the Jesus way, which is love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with everything that is within you. Praise Him. Praise Him. And if you follow God with all your heart, your money will follow Jesus with you. Your heart is what God is calling us to bring to Him. And because we are tempted to love money, we are also tempted to serve money. And here's the deal, everybody. We will, what we love, we will ultimately serve. Come back to that key scripture, the key scripture for the whole month. Worship team, you can join me. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, it's impossible to serve both God and money. We know we're serving money when money is a goal rather than a tool. Money was never designed to be our goal, it's designed to be a tool. It's a tool we use for the things that matter most. A tool we use to invest in loving God, loving people, living for Jesus, living a fruitful and eternal focused life, blessing our family and our children's children, leaving a legacy. Money is a tool, not a goal. Bring it down from being a goal to a tool. And here's the deal. When we believe when I, then I, listen to me, church, listen. Online, listen. Everybody. If you believe, if you're waiting for when I, then I, you know, like when I have more money, then I'll be less stressed. When I have more money, then I'll be more generous. When I have more money, then I'll have more peace. When I have more money, then I'll have more fun. When I have more money, then I'll have more freedom. When I have more money, then I'll have more purpose. Listen, everybody, money makes you more of what you already are. Money does not change you. Money does not fix you. Money does not heal you. God does. So more money will make us more of what we already are. So if you're stingy without much money, guess what happens when you get a lot of money? You're still stingy. We're not waiting for things to get in order to live according to Jesus' way for our money. We're serving money when money shapes our decisions, our priorities, and our purpose more than anything else. Like when money shapes your family holidays more than the goal of a family holiday. I'm in this season of life where I need to be creative with my family holidays. So I make going to the bins an adventure, you know? Come with me, Oaks. Going on an adventure. Going to put the recycling out. It's going to be amazing. Change your life. I got to be creative. But I have not made money the distinguishing factor on whether we're going to have good holidays or not. We're going to have good holidays because that's what we're going to do. Because a good holiday is not about the budget. A good holiday is about the relationships and the quality time and the fun. I say every night to our little family, Poppy, she's learning to listen. She's 4 months old. And I talk to Oaks and I say, Oaks, in this family, in the Lee family, we're fun, kind, and we make a difference. I would have three things, wouldn't I? We're fun, kind, and we make a difference. And I ask him, were you fun today? And he tells me. And I say, were you kind today? And he tells me. I said, did you make a difference today? And he tells me, and they're generally all the same things for each three. So we're working on the distinguishing difference between each value. But that's what we're shaping as the goal. Money is going to serve that. That's not going to be sacrificed in the name of money. I mean, getting a house in Sydney. You know this. We looked for 3 years at 150 houses. And everybody, I know it's hard to get a place in Sydney, but we are believing God with you. We just decided. I remember hearing Mark and Bernie Kelsey. They just decided we're going to get a house. So we just decided. And we looked at 150 disappointments. and we saved as hard as we could. I mean, the goal was we're going to get a house. We're going to get something, a unit, anything, a shed, anything. But it was the combination of grit, determination, saving aggressively, generosity from others, and God doing an utter miracle that we got a house. Decide. Decide. Don't let your money tell you where your future is. Decide. This is where we are. This is where we're going. And then trust God. Trust God. It's hard. It'll be unclear. There won't be a lot of clarity. But don't be led by clarity. Be led by the faithfulness of God. He is able. Decide. Don't be generous when you're able. Be generous with what you've got. Could be like, doesn't matter how much it is. Stop waiting for, oh, I need to have this to be generous. No, no, be generous right now. Watch God work with you as you decide we are generous in Jesus' name. We don't aim our lives at money, church. We aim our lives at the purpose and the calling of God. That's our target. Matthew 6, 19, 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break and steal. The problem is not money. The problem is who are you serving? So this is a confession. Worship team, come forward. Come and join me. Church, here's the confession. If you can write this down, if you can make a mental note, I want you to get this. This is our confession. We don't serve money. We serve God. Can you just say that with me today? After three, one, two, three. We don't serve money. We serve God. And here's the second part. Money serves us as we serve God. Say it with me after three. One, two, three. Money serves us as we serve God. I don't serve money. I serve God, and money serves me as I serve God. Get a bit sassy with your bank account and your wallet. Tell it. Tell it. You're going to serve God. You're going to bless God. Tell it. Lead it. Stop being led by your wallet. Stop being led by money. We lead money. Money does not lead us. Why? Because we are children of God. Amen. We don't serve money. We serve God. Money serves us as we serve God because money is a tool, not a goal. Our goal is His kingdom and His will on earth as it is in heaven. And money is a wonderful tool to see that become a reality. Everybody, let me tell you this one quick story and then we're done. You doing all right? I remember when my nan passed away many years ago, we were at the funeral, there was lots of people, and I was walking around talking to people after the funeral, and do you know, not one person said anything about her stuff. Not one comment. One conversation. All people talked about was the impact she had had on their life. There were drug addicted people that came and stayed with my nan and pop, lived in their house. They got their life back on track. They got healed. They got Jesus in their life. And some of them are now pastors. Some of them are now social workers. That is what matters. Know your stuff. So don't make decisions based on stuff. When you look back on your life, you're going to say, I wish I didn't make a decision based on stuff. I wish I made a decision based on calling and purpose. And you can bring calling and purpose into any job. Don't talk to me about you got to be on staff at a church to have calling and purpose in your job. Don't talk about I got to have this kind of job for God to use me. You can do anything, and God can use you right where you are. Why are you waiting? Bring God into your work every single day and watch Him move. Watch your life make a difference wherever you are, whatever you do.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.